Hey, everybody, enjoy this episode. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member to support this program. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Everybody, this is it's a great week. It's felt like longer than a week, hasn't it? But in a good way.
Longer and shorter. It's crazy to me that we're only two nights removed from...
It has not been 48 hours since the call.
That's crazy.
You want something crazier? It hasn't been 48 hours since polls closed.
Yeah. We're 48 hours ago is like when we saw the early vote from Florida.
I literally all day long thought today was Friday. All day long.
It's just unbelievable. Because it's kind of weird because we kind of had 2 days in a day on Wednesday. Because it happens when you stay up all night.
Yeah.
Sleep 4 hours, right? Right, Jack? You know what I mean? So it's like you kind of was because you the overnight was kind of a
it
night.
It was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Exactly.
Was like
exactly.
All one thing.
Exactly.
Have you guys slept yet? Have you had eight and a half hours?
I crashed hard last night. Yeah, after the stream, I went home, out, and then I just woke up 40 minutes before
last
the
night
show.
It was funny. You guys were talking about that in the chat, and I was like, oh, I'm glad I wasn't the only one, because I felt like I woke up way late because I've been getting up at 5.
Wait, so I did too. Because I got home and actually slept in my own bed. Last night for the first night in I don't even know how when. So on my MyPillow, on my mattress topper, on my Giza Dream sheets. And no, we have all of them. We love them. And it was my body just stopped. If I wanted to stay up longer, I couldn't, because it was just the mind matter transfer or whatever. And my mind body split took over. I couldn't get up this morning. I was not getting up. Just wasn't happening. So I give my kids a hug and I was like, yeah, I'll see you later, guys.
Are we not getting data tonight, Tyler?
No, I just had an idea that just came to me that's a genius idea, and I got texted to
right. Pennsylvania, yeah. Though.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, it's Thought Crime Thursday, but it's also election week, so we got to do both.
Yeah, we're going to hit everything.
So, just first, Jack, the good news out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so that which was prophesied about 24 hours ago has come to pass. So here's what I said. What did I say last night? That we're going to get some more drops out of Cambria County, and then AP is going to call it. And it took a while. It took a lot longer than we thought. Initially, we thought it may be 10 p.m. last night. Then we thought maybe 8 a.m. this morning, Eastern time. Didn't happen. Then finally, basically this afternoon, or I think around 4 p.m. Eastern, some of the drops started coming in. And this is Cambria County. This is that western county of Pennsylvania. That's a strong, 70-30 Trump county. And they got a big drop in. Not completely, though. It's still only about two-thirds of the county has come in. This was the one where they had to extend the times because of the scanner issue that they had out there. Anyway, long story short, bunch of Trump votes came in. They were for McCormick as well. The margin was very favorable to Dave McCormick. And the math is the math. And Philadelphia has finished their count. So the AP did make the call for Dave McCormick this afternoon. However, people like John Fetterman, people like Josh Shapiro, and then, of course, Bob Casey himself have not conceded the race. And this is the big issue.
Bob Casey is being an election denier.
A true election denier.
Indeed.
I hope Mark Elias tries to disbar everyone on Bob Casey's campaign.
No, Mark Elias is out there too.
Oh, are we going to have to disbar Mark Elias? Oh no.
Yes, yeah, let me pull the tweet up.
We got to start filing sanctions
against Mark Elias.
Against everybody. I mean, that's all I could think about all day long today.
Yes.
How many sanctions can we file in 4 years against liberal.
Tyler was texting me like all day, like, Jack, sanctions these guys.
I just woke up just
where's the stupid
saying sanctions this morning.
So there you go. And Bark Elias, the Pennsylvania Senate race is not over more soon. And he said that about an hour after in the there's that guy Jarvis is in the comments is going, Mark, Trump stole the election. You have to do something, Mark. You have to stop him.
Sanctions.
So it's so delicious.
Oh, by the
way,
the
so
left
delicious.
Is like they're in full election denial mode right now.
Oh,
I mean, I'm screenshotting everything.
It's so amazing. The ones who are just like, really how is it possible?
It's also worse than anything we saw from the right. In 2020.
Like, it's so great. Like, they're just like, how is it possible that we could have got this many votes 4 years ago? It's been,
Wait,
hold on. Doesn't that, well, we're only on Rumble right now, so we can speak candidly.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean that 2020 wasn't legit?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like,
it's just, it's kind of like the greatest self-own ever.
It is. It's so funny.
Like, yeah. It's big picture. You know how I am. I'm not as much of a skeptic of 2020 as everyone else is. But, like, what's great is in the public imagination, this just totally discredits it. Like, either it was outright fraud or it was, you know, it was rigged in some other manner, as we've discussed about. And, like, it just is now not a legitimate win in people's eyes. Like, wow, Trump won twice in a row, and then this weird anomaly happened in 2020.
Well, just, now I've seen people say, oh, but it was COVID. People were tweeting today that we needed to have another COVID.
No, it's even crazier than that.
They need another pandemic to prevent
Trump. You'll
see people
on the left who think that turnout was reduced in 2020. They'll be like, they got that. He got 81 million votes in a pandemic. When he could have had even more, and now we have no pandemic, and he had less. Like, that, this is literally their thought process. And it's even better because one of the people freaking out was the Mueller She Wrote person.
Oh,
so
yeah.
At this point, she has this name for her dumb podcast that's like 18 insane news obsessions ago, incredibly stale and out of date, and still has her dumb detective logo. So bad, so funny.
No, I know which one you're talking about. It's the Esquire. Is this the one that the Esquire?
I think so.
There's this one woman who is like, I am a certified lawyer. I will take the lawsuits and reverse this, and Kamala will be president. And she's like actually a bar like certified lawyer. I got to find out who this is. No, the left-wing election denial is the best I've ever seen. So it's really something. And so, okay, Tyler, we won't spend too much time on this because this stream will live beyond and post as a podcast, but just as it's right now, Carrie Lake is 52,000 votes in the hole. Yeah.
So Carrie Lake right now is 52,000 down, totally, plenty of votes out there still. There's a million, just shy of a million votes, we believe. I just sent you over the graphic. We can talk about it later on the stream, beyond this, but this is, we have basically just for everyone listening at home right now, we have 500,000 or so ballots left in Maricopa County, and the rest are across the rest of the state. The only ugly part outside of the rest of the state is Pima, which so far has been getting offset and then some by the remainder of the rural counties. So the idea right now is basically if you can break even or do a little bit better in Maricopa County.
Yeah, I mean, if she starts winning 51 or 52% of Maricopa, that would be great.
Yeah, if she does that, she puts herself in a really good position.
If she starts losing by 2 or 3 points in Maricopa, we're going to have a problem.
It's a real problem. Yeah. And so, but look, what they're saying is because Maricopa County makes us wait around all day long for some reason to issue any kind of drops. So it's been dysfunctional. Charlie, it's been 24 hours and they still haven't dropped anything. They were supposed to drop it an hour ago. And they're allegedly.
What kind of votes are these?
These are all early mail ballots. So they're mail ballots that came allegedly on Thursday and Friday of last week. So those we're supposed to be getting about 200 to 250,000 of these. So that may be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe even Sunday. And then my guess is that they're going to do either a combination of Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday for the last drop, which is the other 250,000. But people are already speculating they may all of a sudden there might appear more ballots. There might be additional ballots. We remember this from 2 years ago, 4 years ago. It was like we thought they were done, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, actually, we just found these 300,000 ballots, so we still have to count, and it's going to go another week.
I think I found my favorite example of how bad the left has gotten at this whole we should count ballots thing. There's a house race in California, the 12th district. It's Oakland. They have only 28% of their ballots counted.
They don't have the A's there anymore, okay? Moneyball doesn't work.
That's unbelievable.
They don't have calculators.
28%. 28%.
The Oakland A's took all the calculators out of Oakland, and they took them to Vegas. Or Sacramento.
They'll have it by Thanksgiving. They'll have half the votes counted.
Yeah, it's just, what in the world?
But here's the funniest part on Twitter. I'm noticing this on Twitter, and maybe it's a little bit of a echo chamberish now. But I think there's still liberals on there. Normal people are going, like, normal, like, normie, just regular, average people are going, this shouldn't work this way. We get it.
Like,
now
Byron York.
Yeah, Byron York is just dunking, and Garrett Archer is on Twitter you don't understand. He's like, the rules.
Byron York is very establishment regime. And then he was like, hey, why is this? And Garrett Archer's like, you don't understand the way we do things here.
It's supposed to be long. And it's like, guys, no. I was the county chair 10 years ago. I was a 27-year-old or whatever I was when I was county chair. And over 10 years ago. 27-year-old. And it didn't work this way. It was actually so much better because they did precinct tabulation. Got there. It was fast. People were like, oh, okay, I can feel good and go to sleep and feel good that we kind of know what's going on here. Of course, there was leftovers, but they worked really diligently to get through them. This is like intentional civic terrorism is what we call. I think we called it 2 years ago was civic terrorism.
It really is, though.
This is civic terrorism.
And it's just bad for everybody involved, though.
Everyone.
Right? Yeah.
Everyone. It's basically just like you feel like because you're imprisoned in this whole system, right? You're imprisoned. This is one of the things that that the average citizen in America, you have control over almost everything in your life. This is right up there with taxes and you have no control. And so when people get involved and then they start messing with things that you have no control over, you feel very much like you're in prison. And that's what's so sick, I think, about this whole thing is so anti-American is these civic terrorists that live for this. They like get off on it. They love it. This is like their whole, this is what they live for so much that the guy lost. He couldn't take it anymore. Stephen Richard deletes his Twitter today.
Are you serious?
Did you not know that?
I thought he like blocked people. I know he deleted it.
He deleted his Twitter. And so everyone's going, I don't know about Carrie Lake. I don't know. If Carrie Lake wasn't doing so well, I don't know if Stephen Richard would be deleting his Twitter.
Yep.
So it's a good sign. It's a little bit of a white pill in this moment. But this is how bad of public servants you have is like he can't even handle seeing this thing through in a world that he helped create.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's weird. That is the hallmark of like the Soviet era, is it not, Jack? Like these people like finding themselves in predicaments they created for themselves within.
Yeah, what's interesting about liberals is that it's like and Marxists in general is that they love government, but they're actually like not very good at it because keep in mind these are the type of people who couldn't actually do anything in the real world. They don't have any competency, and they're I literally wrote a whole book about this that they're not competent to actually do anything. So their only quality is loyalty to the party itself, and as such, you're just not going to find competent people. I mean, Blake, we've talked about the Singapore model of civic service before, and I really would love to see America eventually get to that point as a way of actually hiring competent people in government and also keeping the government as small as possible and keeping the activists as far away from possible as getting there.
Now let's talk about our Project 2025.
Yeah, let's hit that. So it's back, everybody.
Charlie, no, no, what are you doing?
No.
Wait, is there an election next week?
Selection in 2 years.
No, we have our own Project 2025.
That we do.
So yeah. We want to go around the horn of what just we really want to see Trump do.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like what's our 2025, our month one, our first 100 days agenda. Trump administration comes in. There's stuff you can do. What do we want it to be?
I just realized it's post-election and we're on thought crime. Just like
it's like unbelievable. You can say whatever you want. And we won.
Thought Crime Thursday is like Christmas. It will always come.
And we won.
Thought Crime Thursday is unstoppable.
This episode, we're going to have to live with the rest of our lives.
And we're all
if,
like,
if Josh Shapiro had been the vice presidential pick, the show would have been very different right now.
This is like 18 years worth of Media Matters content tonight. So,
I mean, you guys go first. I mean, by the way, it is a all you can eat buffet right now in the federal, at the federal government. So,
wait, can we recap real quick? And I saw, so Lori Roberts, who writes for the Arizona Republic, she hates us. She hates every conservative. She wrote this article that said today, op-ed.
Was I mentioned or no?
No. The op-ed was, the Democrats should be sending Kyrsten Sinema a thank you package right now because she protected the filibuster. Can you imagine if the Democrats would have eliminated the filibuster last year, now where we would be? It wouldn't be coming back. And then we would have a Freedom Caucus-controlled House, no filibuster that the Democrats employed, and Donald Trump. But now we're not going to get rid of the filibuster. It's terrible.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on that.
Well, I know you do.
Oh, of course. I have mixed feelings
on everything. All right, Blake. I'm going to Mar-a-Lago. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to be doing the whole program. We're taking the whole machine to Palm Beach for a week. The machinery is setting up as a beachhead. What should I try to get done?
You're right. It is a big menu.
You go. I got to take this. I'll be right
back. Yeah, of course. Oh, well, Charlie runs off. I guess I can't tell. But I can tell you, Tyler, and then you can tell him.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Jack.
I feel like you come out like a cannonball on your biggest promises. I think some of the stuff you can do is you can try to secure the border right away. You just bring back every policy that worked that you figured out. A lot of stuff took us till the very end of Trump's administration to really start figuring out how you durably secure the border. Get that all back in place. Put it in right away, and you can make a big deal of announcing it. Like, oh yeah, that program we have where that you can sign up on that app to come to America. Yeah, we're shutting that down. We're deleting that app from the App Store even. And you make a showy thing of that. That would be a great way to start. I think you can make a great show of obviously repealing a bunch of bad Biden executive orders on all sorts of things. Maybe even revive stuff that was late in the Trump administration and that got taken back. So bring back the right away that that executive order he was doing with education where, like, you can't basically do discrimination based. Yep. Novel idea. You can't discriminate based on race, and that includes, like, white people.
Yeah.
And start applying that to – have that in place right away to apply it to colleges so that it can start having an impact by your third year, by your fourth year.
Totally.
Yeah. Really forces behavioral changes.
Yeah, that would be a massive shift. Jack, what do you think?
So Machiavelli writes in The Prince very famously that for the need for swiftness and bold action, so that if you're going to make new changes, you make the new rules right away. You fire people who need to be fired right away. I mean, I would just start with, like, firing all sorts of people at the Pentagon over Afghanistan. I would start with firing, like, the heads of every single intel agency. I mean, just clean sweep over all of these. Now, some of that stuff is stuff that would happen anyway. Then, look, you got to do the mass deportations. You just absolutely have to do the mass deportations. There is a mandate to do this now, because this was very clearly the top campaign promise made by President Trump. So was that in addition to the tariffs on China? So it's the mass deportations, it's the tariffs on China, and I'm talking, like, first 24 hours. We need to see these things done right away. And then on, I guess, like, a more wonky policy level, Schedule F. So Schedule F gives you the ability not only to fire the people that are political appointees, but anybody else in the federal government. And as Blake was saying, this was one of those things that came up, I think, like, literally in October of 2020, that it, like, just took effect when President Trump had the, you know, when the election happened in 2020. So it wasn't really enough time to do much about it, but it's just something that should immediately be brought back. Schedule F, have the entire federal government in there. And honestly, and I'm just going to say it, you know, anything that can be done to, look, Steve Bannon goes on trial in a month here in New York City, and anything that can be done to get Juan Merchan to drop those charges, to say, obviously this was a political witch hunt to begin with, I think that needs to be done.
I have a really controversial one.
Ooh,
that not everybody's gonna like.
You, but controversial?
How could you?
So I think to appease, and you know, we have all this going on the pro-life front, because it's not gonna end, that we should make it illegal to go over state lines to get an abortion.
Whoa.
You can move there.
When you have to, when you need a...
Let me give you some thoughts.
Because that gets into federalism issues, wouldn't you have a constitutional issue with that?
I don't. But let me let me tell you.
No, I'm not saying that you do. I'm just saying, no, Blake, I'm just saying that wouldn't they bring that up on
yeah,
of course interstate commerce or something?
Everything that Donald Trump's going to do is going to, he's going to get, you know, body. But here's what my thinking is. Let me tell the political reason. Let me tell you the political reason for this. It'll force Democrats out of our even purplish states. It'll automatically, because they made such a big deal about it. It's not even about the issue of, you know, prosecuting people who cross state lines. It's because I hear what you're saying, Jack. It's the pure politico in me saying if we did that, what would naturally happen, it would destroy the Democrats, is everyone would move to California and New York.
No.
and then, you know.
That's one possibility. I would worry about the other possibility, which is, we have gotten our first kind of pro-life state-level wins in Florida and South Dakota, and I suspect part of the reason we were able to do that is people could justify people who really want one could go to another state.
See, this would be the argument, though. This would
but
be the...
now, one, we'll lose those votes from now on, so we'll have worse laws at about pro-life level at the state level, and we'll also... we'll lose those elect votes from now on.
What will you
lose?
We'll
probably damage ourselves. Well, like, let's say if we did that policy and we brought that Florida bill up again, I think it would pass this time. That's what I'm saying could happen.
Yeah, but they already passed the law.
Well, they passed the law, but they could vote on the measure again. Like, they could just try the exact same amendment.
But it would already be too late because everyone left.
But I just don't know. That many would leave right away. I think you'd still have,
like, they made abortion their number one issue, bigger than anything else.
True enough. True enough.
It's so big, it would force them to either have to stop talking about abortion, or everyone would have to move.
I'm telling you, it's political
jujitsu, and it would force all the. At minimum, all
right, what crazy ideas do I have to push for this weekend?
don't push for this one. But I this is the one I told you before. It's a purely political move, but it's make it a federal crime to cross state lines to get an abortion. And the outcome of this is that it would force all the Democrats that believe this is their number one issue to move immediately out of purple and red states.
Interesting.
So the red states would become redder. Like what's happened in Florida already to the point. And then the purple states, where this is so important, where they can no longer, they just be like, this is my number one. I believe in women's rights. Okay, well then move over the border from Nevada and Arizona and live in California.
So let me tell you the couple I will be pushing for. We're getting rid of affirmative action in federal hiring practices.
Yes.
By executive order. Well, not me, but if we can convince the president, like, meaning we're going to push for that. Vivek pinpointed this. By executive order, affirmative action, it's going to be merit-based hiring in the federal government. Number two, the federal Presidential Reorganization Act will allow us to hire civil service employees at will.
Yeah, we should bring back a civil service exam too.
That's it.
I love that.
We had one. Yes. Like the Carter administration had one and got rid of it on Reagan, and they never got a new one.
So you want like a super thought crimey one?
Ooh.
that we won't be able to get done? Privatize the TSA.
Oh yeah,
that would be amazing. Trump should have run on that. If Trump ran on privatizing the TSA, he'd have won New Jersey.
Or just, did he ever bring up the shoes? I know they were talking about like him saying that you could leave your shoes on. I can't remember if he ever actually said it.
What?
Trump just like not having to take your shoes
off.
Oh,
yeah,
you know,
it's ridiculous.
Just come out and be like, no, we're making it the 90s again.
Well, no,
the
90s are great. But just think about it. If you privatize the TSA to a private service and you say you cannot allow someone to wait in line more than 15 minutes, figure it out, right? Come up with a screening. By the way, it'll be safer. It'll be better. And yeah, I mean, current TSA agents, you can do it a way where they can apply for jobs with this private so that, you know, you don't have like a ton of people losing jobs.
Yep.
But it has to be merit, right? So you got to prove that you can do the job. So you have some sort of deal with whatever private firm that all the, you know, try to fill the positions with current federal employees, meaning, you know, like a one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then you just say that TSA is now privatized as a federal contractor. You have a two-year contract with the federal government. And we're gonna independently audit you of how many bogey weapons make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through like Denver Airport with like a fake gun, you know, as an auditor. Can you make it through? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you audit.
And you can even do it on an airport by airport basis to encourage competition and all of
yes,
that.
Yes. And then you, I'm telling you right now, privatizing the TSA will go down as one of the great, like, people will see a before and after, and a Republican will be able to run, right, Tyler, for re-election, yeah, and be like, I got wait lines at the airport down by 90%. It's safer than ever before. I'm not kidding. Like, this is a real thing that you want to talk about. It's better for the country. Mm-hmm. Jack, don't you agree? I mean, how many times we spend time in airports? Like, Tyler, it's been a year of my life.
Charlie, so what are the logistics of this? Because people look at TSA as a quote-unquote security force. You know, technically, they're law enforcement. So how do you have private law enforcement?
Well, first of all, you could still have TSA agents supervise. Yeah. Like, I mean, you could still have TSA agents enforce the violation. It's no different than you have, like, a private security firm at the Department of Justice that makes sure that, or like the janitors at the Department of Justice, right?
There's private security all over the government.
Yeah, of course. Yep. I mean, and you have private contractors all over the government, right? It's not like some unknown thing. We have private prisons, by the way. That's a great example. So you just say that the 99% of the work, and by the way, the speed, the efficiency, it will all go on. And by the way, you have tell the company that gets it, and Blake is right, you can open it up for five different contracts and say, okay, you guys get O'Hare, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Detroit. You guys get Atlanta, Hartsfield, Orlando, Miami. You guys get Phoenix, LA, and Denver. We're going to see who actually does the best job over 3 years, and whoever does gets the big daddy, you know, federal contract. By the way, if we're just like, just so we're clear, the TSA budget right now is $11 billion. That's insane, okay? Like, insane. You want to talk about the Department of Government Efficiency? To like, by the way, just so we're clear, they all, part of your airline ticket goes to the TSA. Like, that's on top. I like, there's like a $25. You know, you guys know that, right? There's a $25 surcharge.
How does Clear work?
Clear is a separate thing through the Department of Homeland Security where they take your biometrics. I think it's really creepy. Cliff.
Right, but are they contractors? I think they are.
I'm going to ask right now, which is, it's a private membership program that allows members to speed up. Let me see. It is the TSA.
So basically, it would be like, it's like what you're talking about, basically.
Yes, I'm trying to see. It's actually, you're right. ClearMe is not a federal government website. It is a private company. You're right. Yeah, Clear is a private company.
Yeah, Clear's private.
So yeah, this is not that crazy.
Yeah, so
it's already
so
there. It's already halfway there.
What I'm saying is, this is already kind of in service. It's just, we call it Clear, but you see them. They're not in every airport. They're in, like, 55 plus airports, stadiums, and other venues, and they do, yeah, and it's privately used. Yo,
so, yeah,
we're on thought crime, right? Wait, because I do want to say something about Clear since we're on the subject, and you just mentioned this. I had a buddy who was applying for Clear, made it all the way through the selection process, made it all the way up, and it was for like a management position. And they basically straight up told him that we can't hire you because you're a white male.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that's why we're getting, again, if we're able to get rid of affirmative action, you'll have a better government. Your government will work better if we have merit-based hiring.
Totally.
Okay? Merit-based hiring, best people get the jobs. You'll just get a better product out of your federal government. And Cliff, as the libertarian guy, do you like the way this conversation's going, Cliff?
Listen, I was like, man, am I really going to sit with these guys for 5 hours? And when I come on, it's privatizing the TSA? Look, my favorite statistic, and I still can't believe they put this out. You know, they did a study, I think it was 2015, where they had the FBI go undercover, right, and try to sneak in illegal items through the TSA. 95%. And when I say that, people are like, oh, 5% of it failed.
No, that's 100% true.
95% of the time, they were able to get illegal substances, weapons, all of these banned items. 95% of the time, the guys in blue, the 400-pound people that are supposed to protect us and keep us safe, they got it through.
So, Cliff, I'll do you one better on that, which totally lines up. So when I worked, I'm not going to say where it was, but when I was in the intelligence community, Navy Intel, so I was attached to an EOD unit, so that's Explosive Ordnance Disposal. And at one point, we were running operations where we would get one of the EOD guys to run Rumble, right? Okay, so we're not on YouTube, right? Are we on YouTube?
Nope.
Nope, you are free to speak.
Okay, so we would get guys to make fake bombs, And what it would be like, when I say fake, I mean, like, it would look like it had all the components of an explosive device, like an IED, but it wouldn't have any of the actual, you know, material to make it, you know, go boom. But it would be like a soda can hidden in a Dorito bag, and all of the components inside would just, you know, look on an X-ray device as if it was a bomb. And then we would work with the airport to basically get someone what they called it, like a white ticket. So you'd get a ticket that you could go through and show someone, and it would scan, but, you know, you wouldn't actually have a seat on the plane because it would all be worked out. And basically what my intelligence specialist would do is I would have my guys go, because I was the N2, so I would have all my intelligence specialists, you know, just once in a while someone go down in plain clothes and then put the Dorito bag in their bag with the fake bomb inside and see if they could get it through. And it was like, it's exactly what Cliff is saying, almost every single time we were able to get this thing through. And it just felt bad. I remember my specialist coming back saying how awkward it was, because then after you got it through, my guys actually had to go and sit with the employee as the supervisor explained what just happened and show them the device. And it was like, yeah, it was really bad.
Other ideas that we have, I mean, there's a lot of pardons that I think need to happen. Nonviolent January 6th people are out of the gate. He's promised that, but we got to make sure that happens.
I was really thinking, think of all the stuff, like, there was a lot of sense Trump was really hitting his stride in 2020, not even COVID stuff, but hitting the stride on, you know, civil rights stuff, on the border, on government organization. And then all of that got poofed, you know, when Biden just retracted everything day one. I think you want to restore as much of that as possible, as quickly as possible. So you create the vibe of this is the immediate continuation of where we were in 2020, rather than taking a long time to build all of that back up. And so I was putting the emphasis on get the border, all of that, get that online as quickly as possible. You could even bring back some of the cheesier stuff we were doing by 2020. Bring back that idea of the Garden of American Heroes with all the statues. Bring that back. That'd be great.
I love that.
Have it ready by the semi-centennial or whatever it was.
So I have two really big ones that absolutely have to be done.
Yeah, go ahead.
And they're since we're in election mode anyways right now, they're election related. We talked about this. Number one is we got to get rid of the federal only voter registration.
Explain more.
The federal only voter registration is the biggest mistake that's ever been made in America. This is how they're sneaking in illegals to get registered to vote. It should not exist. We should have that gone. It's a threat to our entire republic by allowing this New York, California to sneak in all these new voters through the federal only voter registration. The second thing that we have to absolutely do is we have to have a lot more crackdown on the Yocava votes that we talked about.
Totally.
So Yocava votes.
How do you fix this without Congress? Because what I'm thinking about. Because there's a whole different, like, I'm talking about federal stuff, like, you know, executive branch.
Well, everything that in that frame is all supported by the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
So you defund the departments that are the ones that are overseeing all of it, and that brings it to a screeching halt and forces Congress to actually do something about it. Right now, we'll have the trifecta. So the president calling for this, and for sure, our Freedom Caucus members are all over this because the election integrity issues out there are huge. But and everybody needs to understand this at home. If you don't have this fixed, and also a federal voter ID law that's put into place, but if you don't have this fixed right away, you're in big trouble. The president could defund, like I've seen other people talk about defunding the IRS and things like that. The executive branch can defund so much, stop things from happening, that forces Congress to the table to actually pass laws to get it done. It's just so rarely that a president does that.
I think that we have to get a federal criminal investigation into Act Blue. Just an investigation. We have to figure out how it's possible. We said this yesterday,
yep,
that they are able to have this kind of hard money, small money cash advantage. And if there's nothing there, then the investigation will yield nothing. But it's almost certainly some form of foreign,
In general, like, foreign money out of politics would be a good goal. What if you even just said, like, yeah, we're going to actually treat FARA more seriously.
Yeah,
you
guys use federal agent registration.
Yeah, you just, like, you guys use this against Paul Manafort, you guys use this against some of our people. And we're just going to say across the board, all right, we're going to be a lot stricter in how this is applied.
Well, like that Swiss billionaire.
Yeah, and you could even announce it 6 months in advance and be like, start registering. In 6 months, we're taking this really seriously.
Yep.
Be fair about it.
There other structural stuff, all the border stuff, Stephen Miller is going to just have a feast. Like, I mean, we're going to have the most secure border ever.
Yes.
On the trans stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Charlie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, just on that question then, so to get that done, we do need the right personnel. Do you think, what would you put Stephen Miller at, like Secretary of Homeland Security?
No. Deputy Chief of Staff.
Or something like that?
Deputy Chief of Staff. Here's why. Number one, Stephen.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, and so number one, Stephen Miller is by far the highest IQ, most based capable person I've ever dealt with in that kind of Trump policy world. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Number two, Susie's amazing. However, it is unlikely she lasts the entire term. It's nothing against her. There's almost never a chief of staff that lasts the entire term. You can ask me. You can ask.
It's like press secretaries don't last.
No,
like,
it's just because it just grinds you down. And it's just like, it's a year. Even Rahm Emanuel only lasted a year, right? And then it just grinds you down. So you need a deputy that's ready to then fulfill the mandate, right? And just so we're clear, Tyler, can you please create shirts at Turning Point Action and signs, fulfill the mandate?
Yes.
That is the C4s, right, Cliff? All of us, we need to be posting hashtag fulfill the mandate. That, right, Jack? That is the three words that the base needs to say over the next...
And promises made, promises kept.
Oh, by the way, we have some...
Keep the promise.
We have some Pennsylvania news here, by the way, that's breaking, Cliff, that Jack can walk you through. But let me finish while you guys process this. And I just want to kind of go through this. Is that the... As we say to fulfill the mandate, the... element that Stephen Miller at Deputy Chief of Staff, he'll be able to then basically be the boss of the Department of Homeland Security. In the first term, every cabinet kind of like operated as its own. No, they report to the president. So he'll be able to then go into Department of Transportation, Department of Homeland Security. He'll be able to kind of swoop into all these things. And there's just so much good stuff that could be done.
It's like what when we've had James Bacon on the show, he's talked about that. There's so much you can do where even if, you know, we've talked about reclassifying federal employees, but he said one of the things that was underutilized is you tell someone, hey, I need you to do this, or I need a report on this, and they'll blow you off. And he said there's huge power of if you send someone, either the secretary themselves or someone with the White House, and they say, yeah, where is this? And they're like, oh, we don't have it. And you go, oh, you don't have it? You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks. Well,
that's the other thing. So,
and then
so
you're fired for cause.
The other thing day one that needs to get done is the reclassification. I think I said this. To fire civil service employees at will and to invoke Schedule F or whatever they call it, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
What's great about that is even without that, you can fire for cause. You can say, yeah, you didn't do your job. You were ordered to do this and you didn't. You're fired.
Right. And then honestly, the more ballsy stuff that I'm going to push for is mass reconsolidation, which is, wait, why do we have a Department of Education again? And like, you don't need Congress for that. You can actually use it through the Presidential Reorganization Act. And if there's any, it said the law is written that if there is duplication in any agency, you can merge them together. And so there's so many examples of this, like the EPA and the Department of Energy is a duplication. We don't need two different agencies for something that effectively the mandate is the same thing. So EPA gets merged with Department of Energy. Okay. Well, then commerce, which is another huge one. What commerce might be the most important thing. Why? Census. We messed up. You know that the Electoral College.
It was, it came down 26 votes.
Guys, do you know that? Not votes.
There are 26 people.
Do you know that 26 human beings in the U.S. Census in Minnesota gave them an extra electoral vote? Did you know that?
Yes, I'm aware.
I saw that. 20, yeah, I knew that.
So they gained the census so bad that they were – so, by the way, the commerce sets the tone for the census every 10 years. So there's just so much there.
Not just that. There's so much weird stuff. Like for the census, they keep wanting to create new groups to measure in the census for basically the purpose of – so we can give them special federal contracts because they're like a discriminated against minority group. So like this upcoming census, they wanted to say – okay, we're creating a new group, MENA, Middle East, North Africa. And so, like, you'll have a new group that we can hand out, like, shovel federal contracts to because we'll say they're underrepresented. And I feel like it's actually important for us to say, no, we're not going to constantly go inventing new groups for people to be a part of.
Well, and you know why that's even more important is because those new groups that they create then aid the process for them creating majority-minority groups when they do redistricting.
Also that,
And so what happens is, I mean, this is the entire game of doing the census is for the gamesmanship with redistricting. at this point. Mm-hmm. And so you have redistricting, and obviously you have that, but they have to match. So whatever happens with redistricting is where you get the Electoral College votes. So this is the problem that we have right now, is they're aware, completely aware, totally. They screwed this up last time. And it was actually COVID that did it.
Yeah. You know, so what COVID actually would be?
So COVID actually prevented. Do you realize this? We were supposed to get another district in Arizona, which they actually wanted, because they thought they were going to flip Arizona permanently, and they were going to have three Hispanic majority minority districts here, and they didn't get it, and they actually screwed themselves out of one because of COVID didn't allow them to get enough of those numbers for the.
That's
for the
amazing.
I want Cliff's ideas, but I just want to say God is so good that if this goes the way that it's trending, God knew what he was doing, not giving us a second Trump term, because all the bad people are gone, and that we are literally building a team on transition and otherwise that's like 90% good. You're going to get 10% bad. It's just going to happen. It's just a rule of nature. You know, you could put him in charge of, you know, the neocon stuff will be the hardest fights. I'm going to be honest. I'm not getting involved in that. Like detaching from some of the deep Pentagon stuff, but like, okay, you know, I'll wage war against the teacher unions. I already have.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, that's, I'm not going to go against, but Cliff, as a libertarian, I say this affectionately, what ideas do you have? I mean this, where are we missing ideas? You've been like, if you like one day, I wish we could do X, Y, Z. So.
Yeah. Day one, we free Ross Ulbricht. I don't know if we hit that yet. He should be free.
Oh, that's our only belief. Hey, Blake, how do I not advocate for that every day?
You advocate for it all the time. I don't know why we're so in favor of it.
We're not doing that right now. Okay. Cliff, I totally agree. It is the biggest injustice
totally
by the DOJ, right, Tyler?
Totally agree.
He's made a promise, and here's the cool thing. So, God willing, if God will keep us all healthy and alive until then, inauguration for Trump, fly to Atlanta for the Oregon Ducks playing in the national championship game, then fly to Tucson, Arizona for Ross Ulbricht's release. That's going to be hopefully my sequence. But yes, keep going, Cliff.
I just got.
We'll lock in that schedule. Look, I think the biggest thing as a libertarian is this idea, and I know you guys were chatting about it a little bit, but there really was never a time in my life where there's potential to legitimately cut 30-50% of these bureaucratic goons, right? I mean, right now, when you have Vivek talking with Elon saying he wants to chat with Ron Paul, I mean, be still my heart. Like, this is the libertarian pipe dream of just completely going in and gutting a lot of these corrupt systems, the rot in Washington, D.C. And so I don't want to, like, minimize that. You know, there are plenty of pet issues I care about, but I think that's going to be one of the major ones is, like, are we actually going to shrink the size of government? I just don't. I mean, even on our side, Republicans, I mean, we've struggled with that on a lot of case by case basis. The other thing I'd point to is the Fourth Amendment. I think with Trump being spied on, I think with a lot of the things that he's gone through, whether it's FBI, whether it's DOJ, whether it's CIA, I think there's just going to be so much of a light that shines on some of these things. I don't have specifics where I'm like, you know, we want to do X, Y, or Z. I just think opening the books and being able to get access to so many of these things, it's good for the American people, right? Having truth and understanding when your government has been corrupt, whether it's been done by past Republican presidents, Democrat presidents, rogue actors, I do think that's one of the things that under Trump, the chip on his shoulder right now, after everything he's been through, they said they wouldn't impeach him. They did. They said they wouldn't charge him. They did. They said they wouldn't make him take a mugshot. They did. They shot the guy in the face, right? I just think there's nobody more motivated to go in and expose some of these people that are just completely against the interest of us, the working class American folks. I think that's what excites me the most is just his, not only his attitude, but just his incentives are completely aligned with defending the values of the American people. That should excite all of us.
I love it. And as specifics come up, by the way, and I want to just say to the audience, if you guys have ideas that we're missing, policy stuff, but just think about all this. Think about all the other small stuff that we're going to get done. No more transgender stuff in the military. No more transgenders in the military, period. Like, that needs to go, right, Blake? That was an order for a long time. Like, if you're transgender, you're not serving the U.S. military, period. Yeah. End of story. Not a social
experiment.
That
was true story. That was
Trump did that for
that,
sure.
No, that was Obama was a policy to allow that.
Yes.
And then it was early in Trump's term and they hadn't reversed this yet.
And so I was with Tucker Carlson's show at the time, and this was like spring 2017. And I was like, Tucker, like, they haven't reversed this. It's really annoying. And Tucker's like, yeah, you're right. Like, we should write a thing about that. And so we did that, and then we talked about it that night. And then the next morning on Twitter, Trump is like, yeah, we're getting rid of that. And like, you get these articles where these generals are all blindsided by this tweet. It was so remarkable.
So I mean, just other stuff that we're going to do. For example, no more like gay poems on battleships. You know, de-woking the military, I think, is good.
That's basic stuff.
No, right? No, but I'm just saying, like,
you can frame it in such a good way.
But, like, this is like, good stuff. I mean, it's not stuff that you need.
But you can frame it in such a positive way, too. It doesn't need to be, like, even red meat for your base. You can just say, the purpose of the United States military is to protect America. We are going to de-emphasize and remove all of this extraneous, political,
we have a mandate. We have a mandate to take woke out of our institutions. Yeah. That is part of the mandate. Obviously, drill, baby, drill is easy. They don't need me for that, right? But education, though, stuff is obviously, you know, no men and women sports, but it'd be really interesting to do investigations, deeper ones, into how these at colleges are still using affirmative action, and they're doing it against the Supreme Court, yeah. Right? They're totally defying it.
That. Yeah.
And they're totally. Like, and
Obama got so good at this where they would do these just far-reaching DOJ investigations of police departments where you would investigate them for alleged racism. It was total sham investigations. You would say, like, oh, you pull over, you know, black men more often than other people. We're going to ring you up. And then you force them into these consent decrees where they're basically ordered to stop policing as much. And it was total nonsense, but they did that. So what you do is you can do these sorts of far-ranging investigations and say, yeah, we'd like to see all of the emails that are sent internally by Harvard's admissions department, because it was very interesting how you guys behaved all these years. And you just do that, and you really start putting the pressure on them to think about how their behavior has interacted with the clear, plain text of federal law.
Someone says, go ahead. Yeah.
One last thing. I want to bring back the executive order on architecture. And just say,
what was it?
Oh,
so
yes.
It was like he was saying, 100%. We're not going to have the federal government build ugly buildings anymore.
I love it.
He's like, we're going to have our official styles, neoclassical.
I totally agree.
I even agree with like Steve Saylor. You could just have anything like before the Great Depression looks good. Like,
yes, I completely agree.
It can be Art Deco. Spanish colonial. But none of this like ugly crap.
That's another one. Give the land back. So go to Bureau of Land Management and do the greatest land transfer back to the states.
Yes.
BLM. Literally go to the Department of Interior and be like, hey, we're going to give back 200 million acres to Arizona.
Trump talked about it in Nevada.
He's talked about it. Very popular.
We got to get a Republican governor here in Arizona to help like make it happen. But I was going to say, what about I'm going to start with the easy one and then go to the harder one. First one is defunding PBS.
Oh, NPR.
And NPR.
I totally agree. That has to go through Congress. I think it's worth shutting down the government.
But you should shut the government down.
NPR, I will actively and out advocate every day to make sure you are defunded.
And they're going to resist you with a lot of radio programs.
With a lot of
defund
calm.
PBS. But here's
by the way, fund yourself. Oh, you can still exist. Fund yourself.
Here's the next one. What about federal subsidies for cable?
No. We don't want to.
Guys, there's something.
You don't want to get rid of cable?
Do we subsidize cable?
Oh, we totally subsidize.
Oh, then you'll get rid of it. I didn't know. How do we subsidize it?
The federal government gives like billions of dollars to cable to keep cable alive.
Is that right?
You can go through it. Yeah, there's entire infrastructures for this.
Oh, cable. No, we should stop subsidizing it.
They should. We need no dollars to go to cable.
I totally agree with that.
In cable.
By the way, we need to put together if you put together the brain trust of the conservative movement, aren't there think tanks that exist to do this? By the way, like all they do is to think, what if one day.
You'd think. Right.
That's the point. That's the name. That's the point of the name.
But wait, wouldn't they like put together like a project and then name it?
Whoa. And it might even like be named after a year in administration.
But like, don't they like think about all the things that they could do and all the people that could do it? And then, but they would never publish it though.
Yeah, they definitely would. You wouldn't want to do that because the press would seize upon it and lie about it. So Republicans
you would never
want to keep it secret.
And your enemies would use it against you.
You want it to be private so that you, and then, yeah. Surely,
Before we get super wonky, there is something that needs to be said, just because we promised it a million times, and it's important that there are a lot of people currently languishing in prison called the J6ers, many of whom were completely you know, innocent or nonviolent or all these various things. So that review needs to be undertaken, I think, almost immediately. And I'd love to see day one. So, yeah, Russ Ulbricht, day one, J6ers, day one. There's just a number of people that need to be in those day one pardons or commutations.
You have other ones?
Oh, crap. I lost my train of thought.
Everyone's like,
I was saying, oh, yeah, just, you know, you could do worse. Reread your book from this summer. There was like a whole chapter on there was the chapter with that lurid fantasy of day one of a new Republican
administration. Daisy, get me a copy of my book. I think I have one behind me. I can get one.
So many people that
it's right there. Yeah, I've been on the income standing tax. Up there. We got it. Oh, no foreigners buying U.S. homes. That's not a bad one.
Can you do that by executive order?
Here, hand me one.
I love this conversation. And for everybody in the chat, too, because we have the people in the chat that are going like, this is just a pipe dream. This doesn't make sense. I disagree with that.
Guys, this is not a pipe dream. I don't think you understand what's happening.
First of all, we're also having fun, and you understand that just having this conversation alone
is how you get to good ideas.
We get to get it. But even more importantly, the left's minds are blowing right now. They're getting so upset just by the fact that this exists. Media Matters is going to report on this, and then they're going to get more mad. It's going to be great. Like, just like play the game. Like, help make them mad a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see, the federal revolution.
While you're looking that up, guys,
did we talk Elias or no?
E-verify. Yes.
Did we talk Elias when I was gone or no?
Yeah.
No, with Pennsylvania.
No, we did not.
No.
Hey, Cliff, did you see Elias's tweet? He says there's 100,000 ballots to be adjudicated in Pennsylvania. What does that mean with a 30,000 vote advantage for McCormick? Did you see that tweet?
No, I'm looking at it now.
I guess that some of those are Trump. A lot of those are Trump ballots.
He's talking
too,
about the provisionals.
Yeah, we'd have to see where they're from. I mean, that tracks with 2020 numbers, right? 2020, there were 100,000 provisionals.
Well, this isn't provisional.
Once again, listen.
Are different.
So Cliff, it does say later in the – so he's quote tweeting a Department of State tweet, and it says, we estimate that there are 100,000 ballots remaining to be adjudicated, including provisional, military, overseas, and election day vote. We urge patience with election workers, blah, blah, blah. So those votes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but those votes usually track with the overall vote of the state.
So this is where we had issues, and we've had issues in many states with this because the left manipulates the adjudication process depending upon the county. But adjudicated ballots are ones that have issues, errors, mistakes, cross-throughs, folds, things like that. So what they do is they don't make it all the way through, and they have to be looked at. So if you, like, for example, if you don't have a complete bubble filled in, or it looks like you have two bubbles filled in, or if you're writing a name for a write-in and they have to look at that's adjudication. So 100,000 adjudication ballots for adjudication is a lot, but
is this include provisional or no, or is he conflating that?
So you can adjudicate lots of, so a lot of provisionals have issues because they're kind of sloppy secondhand votes. A lot of overseas ones have adjudication issues because they're
– the Department of State, the actual statement they put out says it does include provisionals. Remaining to be adjudicated, including provisional, military, overseas.
But what I'm saying is that he's including that because that's just a different type of ballot. Adjudication issues happen to all ballots. The vast majority happen in just regular ballots across all the different places. But the point is like you get a lot of the adjudication issues with provisionals overseas because people are a little bit more sloppy with them, or they're a little bit like you can scan in, fax in Yocava votes. So they have issues. They almost all of them need to be adjudicated in some kind of way because someone will take a crappy picture of it when they scan it, or a bad scan or a bad fax, and you can't really read it. And so someone has to adjudicate it, which means they have to fill out a new ballot that is the intent of what they want. And sometimes they pick up the phone and call the person and say, hey,
I think we got some votes.
Yeah, Maricopa County should be coming in right now.
Yeah, I think we got 15,000, 10,000. We got 25,000 votes is what we got.
Let me see.
We got about 27,000 votes-ish.
Nice.
No, also, it should have been 75.
It was not 75,000. It was 25,000 votes. Let me see what Mr. Archer has to say. He said... while we wait for the big dog, Coconino posted 5,166.
There you go.
We also got, he says Maricopa incoming 18 minutes ago.
Pima just dropped.
Yeah, there's more Pima votes.
It was a big, ugly, we were expecting this. So We haven't even framed all this yet for everybody. We were told and expecting a big, ugly Pima drop tonight in conjunction with a Maricopa County drop. We were told this.
She's down 55,000.
Allegedly, they were supposed to do 250,000 Maricopa County votes. Now they changed their tune, and the campaign for sheriff here in Maricopa County got word that they're only releasing 72,000 now.
Yep. So,
and they were doing that in conjunction at the same time with Pima, which we were expecting to be very ugly. This was only about 15,000 votes that broke 62-33 for Gallego.
Okay.
But that was expected. It's a small batch.
Let me do one of our partners here. Guys, start the process to fire up the other stream, please, okay? I want to tell you about everywhere you look, they're trying to sand down men's rough edges and serve up mediocrity like it's something to be proud of. Low testosterone, weak mindsets, and this idea that being tough is outdated. 100% pure bison organs, liver, kidney, heart, the kind of primal fuel that built men who handled their business without whining or waiting for permission. Loaded with B12, iron, and zinc, it is the ultimate kick in the tail for the low T and this watered-down culture. Head on over to BeNaked.com and use promo code CHARLIE at 15% off. Time to rise above the noise and get back to being unstoppable. Also, I want to tell you guys about PDS Debt Relief. Getting in credit card debt is so easy. Getting out? Well, the system's set up so we don't. If you're struggling with credit cards, personal loans, collections, or medical bills, you need to check out PDS Debt. PDS provides a service to match you with debt solutions tailored with your financial situation. If you're making payments every month on your debt and your balances aren't going down, PDS has solutions for you. Everyone with $10,000 or more in eligible debt qualifies, and there's no minimum credit score required. Bad and fair credit accepted. Go to pdsdebt.com/Charlie. Stop waiting and start saving. Get a free analysis right now at pdsdebt.com/Charlie. That is pdsdebt.com/Charlie. Tyler seems...
The
Diamondbacks just won the World Series.
Maricopa just dropped 70,000 votes, 57% Lake.
That's very, very good.
Whoa.
Let's go.
That is above the margin.
No wonder Steven deleted his Twitter.
That's way above the margin.
That is a... How many were you going to pick up off that?
Well, she's only down by 44,000 votes.
0.7. That would be a gain of like 10,000 just off that.
Guys.
Yeah, she's down 44,000 votes now.
All right.
You realize they're doing it in order, too.
That's pretty good.
That's crazy.
Carrie Lake is back.
Carrie Lake,
she's not back yet, but that's way above what she needed.
That is, that's amazing for Maricopa.
She's fighting.
No, I'm telling you right now. No wonder why they were waiting to drop with Pima at the same time, because they had to drop that ugly Pima one together with it.
Donald Trump is up.
43,698 is the gap.
Holy crap.
We should have Matt on sometime,
guys,
to talk about this. He's a fun guy.
No, he's coming on as soon as we get close. I'm telling him he's coming on the show as soon as we get close.
He can come on as soon as he's like...
We're within strike. I didn't want him to come on and then we'd be like depressing. He has to be like, guys, sorry. We've done that. Matthew Martinez. Matthew Martinez is coming on.
Charlie, can you guys...
Matthew.
As the non-Arizonite, how... How is she comparing to 22? Like, what if you are you guys looking at
she's
it like
actually
that?
Doing
like,
better.
What
it's not comparable.
She's doing better, and it's thanks to Trump largely.
It's not comparable, but here's the deal. So what happened with Carrie Lake last time was it was virtually the same issue that where we are at now. She got down. We got close about where we are now. Days into counting, but the problem that existed with her was that her late drops that happened. If you remember this, Charlie. The late drops that happened right before the election skewed more Democrat than they did for Trump in 2020, the late drops. So what happened with Trump, and he was actually performing pretty well, but it just didn't end up being enough and didn't get us across the finish line in the final counts. And they slow rolled this whole thing because that's where this practice came into be, because they were slow rolling everything because nobody knew what was going to happen. And then the same thing happened. Basically, they did the same order of operations in 2022. Carrie just was way down more on that first drop. I think it was like 12 or 14% that first drop. And it was just like this slow, awful.
This changes all the math. Jake, Blake, we need to redo all the math. All that math we did earlier, we did not think we'd get a 57% drop out of remaining Maricopa.
Well, I did say that if it did happen.
Yeah, it's crazy. Are we done with data for the night?
So do we...
probably because they're not.
Wait, Tyler.
This means that the other.
Would this be the best drop? Andrew's listening. Could this be indicative of future drops?
It actually usually.
This is indicative of future drops.
So what it happens usually is it get whatever trend is going, it gets better. The question is how much better does it get? So
Kerry Lake, if Kerry Lake continues this trend of 65% plus statewide.
How many votes are remaining now?
55 plus Maricopa. She's going to win by a lot.
There's 750,000 votes remaining.
There's approximately, there's more than that because we had, that was only a drop of about 100,000 altogether in the last hour.
Yep.
So there's probably about 850,000 left.
That's
a little
crazy.
More. I'm telling you, Trump is going to win by 10. Kerry Lake's going to win
gonna
by
make,
2.
I'm going to make a call about this. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
We're good.
And then
Tyler,
we'll go live with everyone else. We'll recapitulate.
Explain this. Tyler, go through this. You mentioned they're coming in order. What is the order you're looking at there?
So the order. So for everyone that's just joining this new to this process that Maricopa County's magically made up on their own over the course of the last three election cycles, basically what they've done is they're supposed to count all of the early mail-in ballots prior to Tuesday, the election day. However, Stephen Richer came out and said, oops, didn't hire enough people. I couldn't get to that. So they only made it to the previous Tuesday in early ballots. That means there was a full week, basically, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday that had not been counted prior to Tuesday going in.
Hey, just because so, Andrew's saying he missed it, so maybe others did. We're just going to repeat the numbers. We had 70,429 votes dropped in Maricopa. Lake got 57% of them for a net of about 11,500 votes. So in one drop, we gained 11,500 out of a 55,000 vote gap.
That's correct.
So we just wiped out about a fifth of the gap that we needed in one drop.
In one drop, and that was only 70,000 votes.
Of 70,000 votes.
And so Maricopa County still has a little bit, probably pretty close to 400,000 votes left.
So about 400,000 left in Maricopa. So
more than 4,000.
If drops in Maricopa match that, you basically wipe it out right there, and then the rurals would give you some cushion.
Bread and butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if she continues on this pathway, she's not going to win by a little bit. She'll win by a lot. So that's a good sign for everybody. But yeah, anyways, going back to what I was explaining. So they go through that process. So when election day comes, they count all the votes. Step one is this, is that they count all the election night votes first, and then they start in order of the votes that were cast on the previous day. So the first batch that they started counting was Wednesday of last week, then Thursday, and now we're in Friday territory. And then that means that what they probably have a little bit left here is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, somewhere in there. I'll get some word from some people that will tell us on the inside if we're around there. And then they count the drop-offs on election day. Now, election day drop-offs typically look a lot like the actual votes that are cast on election day. So they're very good for Republicans typically. And in this case, Kerry Lake won election day 60% to 40%. So, or a little bit. It was
Tyler, do you know how many there are in terms of election day drop-offs versus early vote, or do we not have those numbers?
I just sent the total. So we are tracking the estimated remaining ballots per county. So I'm sorry, I misspoke earlier with everybody. After this drop, there's about 500,000 still left in Maricopa County. So we're still at like 510,000, somewhere in that ballpark. The remainder is about the same number for the rest of the state. So right now we're sitting at still about 1 million ballots left, a little bit less than 1 million. There's a little bit less than what Maricopa County has in the rest of the state.
And she's still got to make up what, 44,000.
So here's the good 43. News. Here's the good news. Some of the more recent Pima drops. I'll just take a look at it. We've had some ugly ones, but they're not ugly enough for Gallego. But we've had some really good on track outer drops. And Maricopa County is really what seals the fate of Kerry Lake. The good news that
we have breaking real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
hey, Cliff. Cliff, you seeing this? Is Cliff still there?
Yes. Hold on. Yeah, I'm here.
Did
Pennsylvania 10, baby. Pennsylvania 10.
Oh, is it called? Pennsylvania 10's called?
It's our boy. It's our boy. NBC News projects Republican Scott Perry wins re-election to the House in Pennsylvania's 10th congressional.
That's great.
District.
211.
There you
now.
Go.
Cliff Talley.
There you go. Freedom Caucus. This was Cliff. I mean, talk about this race.
Cliff, before you
wait,
get into
Charlie's
this,
coming back. Tell Charlie
Maloney,
that real quick.
At Maloney had two calls. He had one call that this would go, and then Joe Kent would go. So he's one for two on his prediction.
Charlie,
he called
both. Scott Perry.
He called Scott Perry, and he called Joe Kent's race yesterday.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.